9:23-26. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels."
Thank you very much, Carly. She just read from Luke chapter 9, so if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn there. But first of all, thank you for being here today. It's good to see you all. We just got back, the youth group and I, the junior youth, we just got back from a weekend up at Carr Lake. We stayed at George and Betty Pierce's lake house, so I'm exhausted. I don't know about you guys, but we had an awesome weekend. It was such a good time. We learned a lot about the Lord and how we can change our lives to truly live out the will of God and glorify God in everything that we do. Be sure to ask the youth. A lot of them have their bright green shirts on that Aubrey and I made for them on. So be sure to ask them what they learned about this weekend and all that. So it's good to see you all here this morning. And usually when I preach, Dale and his family's out of town, but obviously they're here today. So today will be a little bit different. I'm going to share an opportunity that Aubrey and I have in the coming years. That'll be the first part. And then I'll have a short message from Luke that Carly just read. So I'm going to pray before we get started. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we love you so much, and we praise you and thank you again for this day and the opportunity to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and just worship you together, Lord, and come together and just sing praises to your name and how great you are and how merciful and loving you are to all of us who are undeserving sinners who don't deserve your love or mercy, but you did all that you do for us because you love us, Lord. We love you, and again, thank you for this day and the opportunity to meet here together, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, as many of you know, Aubrey and I really have a heart for overseas missions. We went last year to Ukraine, and you all were very gracious to pray for us, to support us financially, and in many other ways. I know Aubrey and I really appreciate that, and we were able to share with you all about what we did in Ukraine last summer. And also, we've been on multiple other week-long trips throughout our lives in the past 4 or 5 years through our youth group back home. And I had the opportunity to go to Brazil, São Paulo, for 6 months in 2011 and serve with missionaries there. So this, what I'm about to share with you, has a lot to do with that trip I took to Brazil, where I worked along with 5 other college students. We worked with a missionary and his wife and kids who have been there for about 15, 16 years. They lived in São Paulo, Brazil. And basically what they do is they go on campus, on college campuses, and build relationships with college students and hopefully eventually share the gospel with these college students. And they have a small church plant where they just meet in their home, and they'll invite these college students to their home, and they'll worship together, break bread together, and just share each other's lives with one another. And in Brazil, it's a very dark country. It's about probably 95% Catholic, but that doesn't really mean anything when you ask them about what is the gospel. They have no idea what you're talking about. They know a lot about Mary, the sacraments, and that kind of thing, but they truly don't spend time in the Word and know the Word and know what Jesus actually did on the cross. They know the symbol and all the symbolism that goes behind that and how we're supposed to constantly live good lives and ask and repent of our sins to the priest, but they don't understand the concept of grace and mercy that we now live in as Christians. So the country is a really dark country in that aspect, and they don't have evangelical gospel preaching churches there. So now this family is moving to another city in Brazil called Porto Alegre. Try to say that 5 times fast. They're moving down there actually a week from now, and they're going to do the same thing. They don't really know anyone there or have any connections there with. There are a couple of churches, but they're working with a different kind of people group, not college students. But Chris and Melody, that's their names, they will basically move into a house, get settled eventually, and start just walking the streets, visit the college campuses, maybe have a couple of open doors. When I was there, I literally just walked into a cafeteria, sat down next to someone, and started talking to them. The people are really friendly, and they love getting to know you, especially when you say you're from the United States and you speak English, because all of them are learning English in their classes, and they really enjoy spending time with you and learning more about the American culture and that kind of thing. But Chris and Melody, when they're in this new city, they're going to do just that, what I did while I was there. And they're going to have, there's a program called Hands On with the International Mission Board. And that's a 6 to 7 month program, the one that I was in 2 years ago. And they are college students who will just come for a semester and work alongside these missionaries. And there's also another program called Journeyman, which is a 2 to 3 year program, which is basically hands-on but longer, where you go for 2 to 3 years, and there are people who have graduated college, 20-somethings, who go and basically just work and do the exact same thing that the missionaries that are living there are doing. But since the 20-year-olds are the ones going on campus, it's a lot more effective because we're the same age. Some of us still in school, still have the same experiences and that kind of thing. And the goal is to reach out to these students who may never hear the gospel, may never set foot in an evangelical church, and just share the gospel with them, share the truth of God's love with them. And that's where Aubrey and I come in. The Journeyman program is what Aubrey and I have prayed about for years, the past few years actually, and Chris and Melody, he invited Aubrey and I to pray about considering going along with him and his wife and kids to this new city in Brazil and work alongside them while they're planning the church and just surveying the community and that kind of thing. And Aubrey and I have prayed about this opportunity, and we've talked to a lot of our mentors and pastors we've known and just different family and friends about this opportunity because it's a huge deal. When I went for 6 months, that was the scariest thing I've done in my life ever. I left home, didn't know anything what I was getting myself into, and now we're both going for even longer to another place we've never been before. And really, we're just taking a leap of faith because we have no idea what the future might hold. And nothing's set in stone or anything yet, but we have the opportunity and we've been invited to go. So we're planning on doing it. And we've decided to pursue the opportunity that God has placed before us. And what does this mean for us now? Well, it's important for us and you all to pray for us. We must pray continually, and we have to equip ourselves for this journey because it's not a simple thing at all. When I did hands-on, we did a couple of week-long training sessions with missionaries because you're going to a completely different culture, a different people group who don't have the same morals, background, ethics, anything. It's a completely different place where sometimes even talking about something like grace or a free gift could be offensive to someone in a lot of Asian countries, that kind of thing. So you have to be really careful and cautious about the context you're going to share in. But we ask for you all to pray for us, pray for our families, pray for the Julian family. That's Chris and Melody. They're moving actually a week from now. They've been in the United States for 6 months on their, they take a furlough back in the United States every 2 or 3 years to spend time with their family. They speak in different churches around the United States and share about what they're doing and that kind of thing just to raise support. But pray for their family because they've never been here. They've visited a couple of times, and they're uprooting where they've been 15, 16 years in Sao Paulo and now moving a different city about 10 hours south of Sao Paulo. So be sure to pray for the Julians. And also, most importantly, pray for the lost souls in Brazil who are going to hear the gospel maybe for the first time, and pray for their souls because they're people just like us. They were born, they live in this world just like us. They were created by God just like us. They're no different from who we are. They just live in a different geographical location. So be sure to pray for them. And also, a requirement for the International Mission Board, they are the Southern Baptist Convention's mission board. And one of the requirements for serving for them is you must actively be involved in serving in a Southern Baptist Convention church. And what that means is we'll be going to our home church, Fairview Baptist, in Apex a couple of months from now. So as of right now, we'll begin an 8-week training session in Richmond, Virginia. That'll be in 2015, so we still have a while to go, but we must be in the Southern Baptist Convention Church and serving, because they're the ones. It's a blessing that the Southern Baptist Convention, they pay your whole way. You're on salary. They provide housing and health insurance, everything for you. And that's funded by the giving of Southern Baptist churches every Sunday, every year through the cooperative program. And if you'd like to know more about that, please be sure to ask how you can help out in that way. You would never actually give a check to us, but it's all to the Southern Baptist Convention if you would ever want to support us financially. But I cannot not stress anymore how much it is of an importance for you guys to pray, for us to pray for ourselves and the different opportunities that we might have in the future while we're there. Maybe God will shut this door and another door will be opened. We're not really sure. It's all up in the air. But the important thing is to just be faithful to God, because he is way more faithful than we are, and he calls us to obedience and to be faithful. So we just ask you all to please pray for us continually. This is a huge step for us. We're really scared. We don't know what to expect or anything, but we feel like this is what God would want us to do right now, this point in our lives. So, and that's where I'd like to shift gears a bit. Let me open up my Bible. I've already asked y'all to. So Luke chapter 9, I'm just going to really just go through these couple of verses and say, talk about what Jesus is saying to his disciples and how we should live our lives for Christ. So if you could turn to Luke 9. And we'll get started right in verse 23. We'll go ahead and start there. So verse 23 in Luke chapter 9 says, "And he said to all," and this is Jesus speaking, "if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So to me, I don't know about you, but this does not sound like a positive, good verse at all. This is a command from Jesus to his disciples. So that's basically to us. He gave it to his disciples who were with him presently. But also, since this is the word of God, he's telling it to all of us. Now, we are to, as Christians, deny ourselves and take up our cross every single day. So think of it modern day. What is a cross? Maybe an electric chair or something like that, a torture execution device. That's what we're supposed to bear every single day as a Christian. And that doesn't mean live a comfortable life. That means we're to suffer for Christ, for the sake of Christ, because when Christ took up the cross, he was suffering for a purpose, for God, and we're supposed to do the same thing in our daily lives. So denying yourself means to deny all the pleasures you want, deny the feelings you have and the aspirations, dreams, everything you have, if it's not rooted towards Christ, and follow him. We have to suffer for the sake of Christ by sharing the gospel everywhere we go and with everyone we come in contact with, and even if that results in persecution or rejection, because every time you share the gospel with someone, look what happened to Jesus, look what happened to his followers. It wasn't always a pleasant experience at all. And I tried to stress this a lot to the youth, that living a Christian life is not supposed to be easy or comfortable or anything. Christ never promised all of those things. We have peace and hope, definitely, in Christ. But here on this earth, this isn't our home. This is not our world. This is a fallen world. We are to be reunited with Christ one day. And while we're still here, it's going to be hard and difficult. And that's what Christ told us. So we should be reminded, again, that this is not our home. The world we live in is not free from trials, sin, death, sickness. So with all that, we will be rejected. We will have hard times. And following Christ is not intended to be something easy that we experience. Just as Christ suffered in this world, so will we, he says. So we should count it a tremendous blessing to serve and live for Christ. Let's look at verse 24. That says, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake," or "whoever loses Let me start that again. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. So if we lose our life for Christ, we get the best thing we could ever have for ourselves, and that is Christ himself and eternal life. So what could get any better than that? This world doesn't matter. If we lose our lives for his sake, we get him. So that equation, it seems like the best possible outcome for us if we live for Christ. And the flip side of that, if we try as hard as we can to comfort ourselves, protect ourselves here on this earth, one day we will definitely be in for a rude awakening because we'll realize what we lived for wasn't worth it at all because God is who is worth it. And look what he says, whoever loses his life or whoever would save his life will lose it. So would you rather lose your life here and have a better life in the future or the other way around? And verse 25 says, for what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? And I'll spare you from singing the Toby Mac song like I did to the youth group this morning. They thought I was pretty crazy. But if a man gains everything that this world has to offer, what good is it when he dies? We're going to turn over to Luke chapter 12 real quick. And that's the parable of the rich fool. I'm sure you all are familiar with it. But this is definitely relevant to this passage. So look at Luke 12, 13, verse 13 through 21. I'll go ahead and read that. Someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? And he said to them, take care and be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So it is not worth it to go after the things of this world, to store up things of this world, and that to be our pleasures and desires fulfilled by things of this world, because it just won't happen. And one day, we won't be able to take it all with us. One day, we'll face death and we'll not be able to take anything from this world. Is what you are living for now really worth it? How are you spending your time and money and your efforts and your talents? Are you using it something that will just be rid of one day, just like it says in this passage, or is it something that is making eternal impact for the kingdom of God? So now to verse 26, back in chapter 9, sorry. Let me turn back. So verse 26 says, for whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory, in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. So Jesus here tells us something that he says throughout the Gospels. Do not be ashamed of me, or I will be ashamed of you, is basically what he's saying. So, are you ashamed of Christ? Think about that question. Are you ashamed of Christ? Here in this building, right now, maybe in Sunday school, Wednesday night through the Bible, in your meetings throughout the week, of course we would say, certainly not, I'm not ashamed of Christ. But how about in the office, or do your neighbors know you're a Christian? And maybe you are not ashamed actively, but this question really struck me. What does your inaction say about your boldness and love for Christ? And that challenges me every single day. Sure, I may go through my daily walk, and if someone asks me if I'm a Christian or if I have an opportunity, I'll say, oh yeah, here's the gospel, that kind of thing. But what does our inaction say about how we love Christ and how we want to live for Christ? So in these verses in Luke 9, we have a challenge from Jesus himself to all of his disciples, all believers. One, to deny yourself. Two, take up your cross daily and follow him. Three, count the things of the world as nothing and him as everything. And four, not to be ashamed of Christ. So they're really simple, but they're really challenging to our lives. And he's saying it's not going to be easy at all, right? So look, I'm going to read from one of my favorite books. It's called Don't Waste Your Life by John Piper. And I just read it again recently. I read it in high school, and it really convicted me and what I was living my life for. I was about to start college, and that's a huge turning point in any young person's life. You know, where am I going to direct my future? What am I going to do with the rest of my life? And that kind of thing. And God really put this book in my life and my path to help me direct what truly matters in this life and how we should live our lives. And it just is such a challenging book. I would recommend it to anyone. But I'm going to read. He opens up the book with one story in chapter one, and I'm just going to read that story really quick. So here's John Piper from Don't Waste Your Life. My father was an evangelist. When I was a boy, there were rare occasions when my mother and sister and I traveled with him and heard him preach. I trembled to hear my father preach. In spite of the predictable opening humor, the whole thing struck me as absolutely blood earnest. There was a certain squint to his eye and a tightening of his lips when the avalanche of biblical text came to a climax in application. Oh, how he would plead. Children, teenagers, young singles, young married people, the middle-aged, old people. He would press the warnings and the wooings of Christ into the heart of each person. He had stories, so many stories, for each age group, stories of glorious conversions and stories of horrific refusals to believe, followed by tragic deaths. Seldom could those stories come without tears. For me as a boy, one of the most gripping illustrations my fiery father used was the story of a man converted in old age. The church had prayed for this man for decades. He was hard and resistant. But this time, for some reason, he showed up when my father was preaching. At the end of the service, during a hymn, to everyone's amazement, he came and took my father's hand. They sat down together on the front pew of the church as the people were dismissed. God opened his heart to the gospel of Christ, and he was saved from his sins and given eternal life. But that did not stop him from sobbing and saying, as the tears ran down his wrinkled face, and what an impact it made on me to hear my father say this through his own tears, "I've wasted it. I've wasted it." This was a story that gripped me more than all the stories of young people who died in car wrecks before they were converted. The story of an old man weeping that he had wasted his life. In those early years, God awakened me in a fear and a passion not to waste my life. The thought of coming to my old age and saying through tears, "I've wasted it, I've wasted it," was a fearful and horrible thought to me. So this challenge that John Piper gives throughout his book, Don't Waste Your Life, is something I really drove home. And the youth are probably sick of it. This weekend, I talked a lot about not waste your life, do hard things for Christ, because that's what he commands us to do. Because things on this earth don't matter. We don't belong here at all. We are to live for the kingdom of God, and things that have eternal impact are what we're supposed to live for. So if you are not a Christian, heed these words. Don't come to the end of your life. And it'd be great if you were converted and you weren't a Christian right before you died. That would be an awesome thing. But don't get to the judgment throne and say, "I've wasted my life because I didn't live for God. I'm going to burn in hell forever." Don't do that. You're here today. You've heard the gospel many times, maybe. Do not live for yourself and for satisfying yourself, because you'll never be fulfilled without Christ. You will never be satisfied. All the dreams, desires, everything that you have, you'll always be missing something if you don't know Christ, if you don't know his word, and if you don't know the truth of God. If you are a Christian today, here's your challenge, and it's a challenge to myself, both Aubrey and I, every single Christian in here today. Look at this text in Luke. Spend some time in it this afternoon. Think about the words, deny yourself and take up your cross daily. What do you need to change in your life to do that? Are you living a comfortable life and not taking that extra step for God? I know I don't all the time. Even today, there's so many different things I could have said or done that I wish I had for Christ, but instead I thought of myself, because we all do that. That's our nature as humans after the fall. So deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Christ. And also, part of following Christ is following the Great Commission of God. And that's another thing we talked about this weekend, that as Christians, we have something that Christ commanded us right before he left his disciples. He said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Are you doing this? I'm not asking, is the church doing this or is the pastor doing this? Are you yourself going and making disciples? This is a challenge to every single one of us here today. We are all to take part in missions, and that doesn't mean you have to go overseas or sell everything you have here in the United States and move to India or something like that. Are you being a missionary to your neighbor, to the people in your office, to your family members who don't know Christ? If we're still here right now living on this earth, we're here for a reason. We are here to share the gospel with someone, and we will have an opportunity to do that if you are a Christian. Because think, if we weren't supposed to share the gospel every single time someone got saved, they would go up to be with God immediately. We're here to share the gospel. Everyone in this world is either a Christian or not a Christian. And if you are a Christian still here on this world, earth, you're supposed to share the gospel. What are you doing to get the gospel to the millions across the world who have never heard the name of Jesus and who will die and burn in hell forever? I think we have the resources, we have the time. A lot of us have the financial capability to help people in need and use that as an opportunity to share the gospel. Maybe give money to a missionary family who you've never met before and they need help. Look online. There's tons of websites where you can give money to missions organizations. There's many out here on the wall here. You can see families and read their stories and that kind of thing. You don't have to go to a third world country in Asia. You don't have to get on a plane, go anywhere. There are people right here in Durham, in this neighborhood right here, in Grove Park over here. I'm sure tons of people do not know Christ, maybe will never step foot in a church. And we can't expect them just to walk in here, because a non-Christian is not just going to be like, oh, I'm going to walk to church today and go hear about this guy Jesus. They're not going to do it unless someone shares the gospel with them. And most importantly, the Great Commission isn't an option. Christ did not say, if you would like, go and make disciples, or if you feel called, go and make disciples. If you are a Christian, you are to go and make disciples. The Great Commission isn't easy. We see here from this text in Luke that we are to suffer for it. We are to deny ourselves. We're to carry our cross daily. Those aren't good things. So I'm going to finish up with one last short quote. It's a simple quote from a recent martyr, I guess he's sort of recent, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He died and was executed under Nazi Germany rule during World War II. And in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, he says, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. So think about those words. Don't waste your life. Don't live for yourself. Live for God. So we thank you for your love and generosity, and we love being here with you guys. We pray for you all the time, and we're definitely going to miss you all. Please be sure to ask us any questions if we need any specific prayer requests, that kind of thing. I'm going to pray now, and the praise team can go ahead and come up, and we're going to close in a closing song. And listen, don't leave here today if you need to do something for Christ, if you need to make a new commitment. Maybe you don't know Christ. Maybe you've never accepted Christ. He came and died, he lived a perfect life, and then he died on a cross for your sins because he loved you. And he rose again, and now he's in heaven pleading people to come to know him. So that's him today pleading you. Please come to know Christ if you don't know him today. Let's pray. Lord God, we love you so much. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth and your love for us. God, we love you. We pray today that we would just learn to glorify you and worship you through our lives, that we would fulfill the Great Commission that you have given us, that you have commanded us to do, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe your ways, Lord. Help us do that. Give us the strength and boldness to do that. Give us the courage to do that. Lord, we see in your word how much you love us and how much you have mercy and compassion for us. May we have mercy and compassion on all of those that we come in contact with, Lord. Help us make an effort, take a step out in faith for you, God. Lord, I pray that we would all deny ourselves and take up our cross for you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.